You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
May God bless you richly in the name of Jesus Christ. This is Reverend Dave Boston, and I welcome you to our presentation of Follow His Sandals. As this is a Christian radio station, perhaps it goes without saying whose sandals we are endeavoring to follow more closely, but that would be those of our loving Lord Jesus Christ. As I have often said, the last perfect guy blew out of here almost 2,000 years ago. This show is about our working together in the Bible to help each of us more closely follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get started. Well, God bless you all in the name of Jesus Christ. And this is Reverend Dave Boston. We're broadcasting live from our studios in sunny South Florida in Palm City. As we've been talking a lot in the show about studying the Bible ourselves, it's just really important for us, I think, to get to the point where what we believe is what we read in the scriptures, not what necessarily just what somebody tells us. Now, there's a great song I want to play today and to start, and we're talking about how do we deal with other Christians who don't believe the same thing we believe in. So, well, listen to this song. It's very, very interesting, I think. You see, sometimes as Christians, we're loving to people who maybe are not Christians, our neighbors that way, but sometimes Christians can be mean to each other, and that's not what Jesus Christ wants. Now, we're going to look at a section of Scripture here in a little bit. We're going to take it apart a little. But before we do, I wanted to remind us that last week we talked about the two great commandments. Remember that? It was loving God with all our hearts, souls, and minds, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. That was Jesus teaching that. Now, interestingly, we also saw in one of those verses that Jesus said that the loving our neighbor is like loving God. So loving your neighbor is like loving God. Well, if loving our neighbor is like loving God, then loving God is like loving our neighbor. You know, if A equals B, then B equals A. Wait a minute. This is a Christian radio station, and you're including math. I think there's a law against that someplace, but I promise you, no more math. Well, I make no guarantees, but hopefully not too much more math. Unless you really like math, then call and leave a message to the radio station. We'll get more math up the kazoo for you, okay? But loving our neighbor is like loving God. So if we want to know about loving God, we can learn how to do that, and this is important, if we can, you know, realize what it means to love our neighbor. Now, we talked about this last week, too. Jesus taught about loving our neighbor with a great parable. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. I want to read some of it to you. It basically is a Samaritan that finds somebody beat up. We're going to pick it up in Luke chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 33. Verse 30. Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." Not a good situation, not his best day, that's for sure. Now, by a chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." Now, this is a great example of what it means to love your neighbor. Now, the Samaritan here comes across this guy who's beat up, right? Beat up and robbed. And what does he do? He doesn't say, "Gee, it's really bad to be you." He doesn't say, "Love you, brah, but you're having a bad day." No, what does he do? He sees the need. He doesn't focus at all on himself, and he reaches out and helps this guy in every way. Well, if loving our neighbor is to care about the needs and wants of the other, then what's loving God going to be like? Well, loving God is going to be the same thing. We love God. We don't just say, "Oh, I love God because he's so nice to me." That's beautiful, but that's not what loving God means. And you remember we talked about Jesus Christ, how he loved God, and one of the great records of that will be read by my daughter here. It's in John chapter 8, verse 29.
And it says, "And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him."
Right. He always does those things that what? Please God. That's how Jesus loved his Father, right? He loved by not focusing on what he wanted, but by focusing on what God wanted. And that's hugely important. Now, today we're going to look at a section of Scripture, and we're going to take it apart a little bit. And it's in the book of Romans, chapter 14. We're going to look at it. Now, the book of Romans was written to Christian believers back at that time. So because it's written to Christian believers then, it also applies to us. And there's great learning in this, how to both love God and love our neighbor at the same time. So we'll look at that. Now, before we go on, many of our English Bibles were translated from Greek texts of the Bible. And sometimes it can help our understanding to see which Greek word or words were used in the more original text of the Bible. In other words, you'll see a verse, you'll see a word in English, and that's great. But sometimes when you see what the Greek word behind that word in English is, it gives you a better picture. Now, I talk about this a lot in my book, Loving Your Neighbor, A Practical Guide to Keeping the Second Great Commandment. And yes, that is available on Amazon and on BarnesandNoble.com and on iTunes. But I really wanted to wrote a book that was going to be a practical application. How do you love God for real? How do you do that? And that's why I wrote the book. And one of the things you start with, of course, is getting the right heart. And the right heart of love is that you're not focused on yourself. It's not what's in it for me. It's how do I bless the other person? And we're going to see that in this Romans. And I take Romans 14 apart in my book. You can take a look at it. But Romans 14, we'll start in verse 1. Romans chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables." Now, look what we have here. We have our first doctrinal problem, don't we? Two different denominations showing up right here, right? Two different churches, right? There's the church of the meat eaters and the church of the veggies only. But that's what's happened in Christianity. Whenever someone disagrees, we just start our own little group. And that's not what Jesus Christ wanted to do. He wants us to help each other. We're going to see that as we look forward on this record. But what's very interesting here is verse 1 says, receive one who is weak in the faith. You know what it doesn't say? Receive one who is preaching a wrong gospel. That's not what it says. I think so often I'll hear pastors and teachers say, oh, Pastor Jones, he's teaching a wrong gospel. He's teaching a wrong gospel. Well, maybe, but more likely it might be just like this verse says. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not the disputes over doubtful things. So what we're going to see is some believers are stronger than others. That's just happens from being in the faith a long time, right? But now in the particular issue, are you the strong one or are you the weak one? Well, I don't know. And it can change. You can be the weak one in this issue and then the strong one in another issue. That's okay. And what we're going to see is the Jesus' words for this, the instruction of God here is don't fight over it. You know, it's funny. I was telling somebody the other day, I've had my life threatened basically three times in my life. And all three times were by Christians. And all three were by Christians who didn't like what I believe and like something different. It's like, okay, well, great, you know. But somehow I don't think killing is the answer to that. But that's, well, who am I, right? That's what my Bible says anyway. But now look at chapter 14, verse 1 again. It says, receive one who is weak in the faith. Now you see a word like receive, and you think, okay, receive. In fact, in the Greek New Testament, there are a few different words that are translated receive in English. But the one we're going to look at is kind of special because it's the one used here. And it's a Greek word, proslambano. You can look that up if you need to, if you have a concordance. But what this verse means, what this word means is not just receive like you'd receive junk mail or receive like a pat on the back. It means to welcome, to bring somebody into your heart. That's what this word means. And we're going to see some pictures of it here. I talk about that in my book, Pictures of Love, where God uses verses with these words to show you a picture. And then you take that picture and you apply it figuratively as you're walking in love. And one of them is right here, this word receive. Now, it's interesting. Look at verse 3, please. So verse 2 is, for one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats, look at this, despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. Why not? For God has received him. And that word received is the same word. In other words, the reason we receive each other, whether you're the strong one or the weak one, is because God has received him and you. You know, Jesus Christ died for my sins. And you know what? He also died for the sins of every other Christian, right? Every other Christian can call Jesus Lord. And every one of us are on our own path to learn and grow with our Lord Jesus. And what this verse is saying is, look, don't despise him who does not eat, and let not him who eats judge him who eats, for God has received him. Amen. God has received him. Now, this word received, it's a very good, interesting word. I want to show you a couple of records of it. The first one's in Acts chapter 27. We're going to look at this one, Acts 27. And again, it's a record that it shows this word in kind of an interesting little picture. So we're going to pick it up in Acts chapter 27. What's happened in Acts 27, if you read the whole record, is the Apostle Paul and some guys are on a ship, and mostly the ship is filled with unbelievers, but Paul was a believer, and so were others, and the ship's going to get problems with the weather. It's going to have a real problem. They're going to become shipwrecked. So what happens is you get all the way down to chapter 27, verse 44, and it says, and the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. That's beautiful, right? So nobody dies. They all get to land safely, which is nice. Now, verse 1 of chapter 28. When they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. All right, they're in Malta. All right. And the natives, look at this, verse 2. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome. That's that word, made us welcome, is the same proslambano. They made us welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. Now, we live near the beach here in sunny South Florida, and it's usually pretty warm here, which is nice. But interestingly, I used to live in New England as well, and sometimes in the middle of winter, it gets pretty cold, right? Now, let me ask you this. If it's cold and rainy, is that the time you want to go to the beach? Not usually, right? Because it's too cold. Well, these guys were shipwrecked. They were in the water. It's cold out and they're wet. And I'm guessing they're tired. They're probably hungry. So they come ashore, and what do the natives do? They take good care of them, right? They showed us unusual kindness, which is a great way of saying great kindness. For they kindled a fire and made us all welcome. They probably brought blankets, though, probably food, right? Took care of these guys, didn't they, right? That's that word. That's that receiving. That's how we're to receive one another. It's a caring, kind of like that Good Samaritan we just read about. It's a caring for each other. That's what Paul was saying here. That's what happened for them in Malta. And great things. We can read the record. The record's fantastic. But the bottom line is they're cold, rainy, and wet, hungry and tired. And what do these guys do? They take good care of them. They kindle a fire. They probably gave them food, probably gave them blankets, do whatever they could do. That's this word receive. That's the picture of this word receive when it says to receive one another. Well, that hasn't been my experience with Christians many times. Many times Christians are the ones that they don't receive. They they do more harm than good sometimes. Well, that's not where we want to go. That's not what Jesus wants us to do. And so we're going to walk like Jesus wants us to do. So back to Romans 14, please. All right, I'll show you one more. Didn't cost you anything. This one's in the book of Philemon. Book of Philemon. Not exactly a playground for a lot of Christian churches, but it's a great chapter. Philemon only has one chapter. It doesn't have several chapters like many of them do. But Philemon was a friend of Paul, the Apostle Paul. Now, Philemon was a great guy. Philemon used to have this slave whose name was Onesimus. Now, Onesimus escaped, which in that culture was not a good thing. Slaves did not escape. But Onesimus did. He escaped. And as God would have it, who does he run into? He ends up running into the Apostle Paul in prison. Well, Paul shares the gospel with Onesimus and gets Onesimus born again and saved, right? But now Paul understands that this guy, Paul, is Philemon's slave. So he wants Philemon to bless him, and he wants Philemon to take care of this guy, but he's also sensitive to the culture of this. So what he's going to do, Philemon is written, the book of Philemon is written from Paul to Philemon by revelation, I would add. But verse 10 says, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now it is profitable to you and to me. He's saying, look, I want to send Onesimus home to you, Philemon, but I want you to take care of him. And then verse 12, I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, proslambano, receive him, welcome him. That is my own heart. In other words, if it were me coming, Philemon, you'd bless me really big. And because it's not me, it's Onesimus, please take care of him like you would take care of me. Please welcome him that warmly. Verse 13 says, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he, Onesimus, departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. That word is not. Verse 16, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother. Especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. See what St. Paul's heart here, he's beautiful here. He cares about Philemon. He doesn't just say, hey, this is my guy, take care of him. He says, look, I know what the past, I know what went on here. Let's work together here, but let's bless this Onesimus, okay? Let's see if we can't take care of him. And then verse 17, it says, if then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would receive me. And that word receive is proslambano. In other words, Paul's saying, look, Onesimus is coming to you, Philemon. Please welcome him like you welcome me. Please take care of his heart like you take care of my heart, okay? So that's the picture. That's this word, proslambano, that we're talking about. That's what we're reading here in Romans chapter 14. Him that is weak in the faith, receive you, right? But not the doubtful disputes, verse 1. Again, verse 2, for one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. Why? For God has received him. Now, with that in mind, just keep your finger here if you do it, and we're going to look at chapter 15. Because chapter 15 has a verse that has this word proslambano twice. We're going to pick it down in verse 5. It says, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? You know, believers getting along, being like-minded. Verse 6, so that you may, with one mind and one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 7, look at this, it's beautiful. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So you have a Christian who goes to a different church than you do, different denomination than you do. Would you receive Jesus Christ? Certainly you would. You'd be open arms, right? Well, this verse is saying, look, like you, because Jesus Christ received us, you therefore receive your brother in Christ. We see a whole different picture here, don't we? It's not. This is not about fights. This is not about disagreements and, you know, arguments and everything. And I'll be honest with you, I've made that mistake in my life where I've gotten into arguments over Christian doctrine, and I'm so proud of myself because I think I'm right. But then as I got older and more wise and more loving, I realized I don't think God was pleased with me at all. I think God kind of put up with me, you know, because I wasn't walking in love. I just wanted to show everybody how smart I was. All right, go back to Romans 14, please. And then look at verse 4. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Here we go, another denomination. Those are the day, those are not the day, right? But what God's saying here is, look, the reason you don't do this, the reason you love each other, is because he responds to Jesus. Every Christian you work with, Jesus Christ is their Lord too. So who are they responsible to? To the Lord, right? And that's what we want to help. Verse 5, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, eat to the Lord. He does not eat and gives God thanks. I don't know if I read that right. To the Lord he does not eat and gives God thanks. Okay. Verse 7, for none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are whose? The Lord's, right? That's the key. We all belong to Jesus, don't we? Right? Well, I'm a Baptist and you're a Presbyterian. Okay, who cares? We still belong to Jesus, and Jesus wants us getting along. I have three children, and I like it when they get along well. When they're fighting, that's not a good thing. Now, thankfully, my guys are pretty good at that, but parents don't want their kids to fight. Do you think God wants his children fighting over doctrine? Well, Pastor so-and-so is wrong because he teaches this, and Pastor Jones is wrong because he teaches that. Well, how about we work together to just teach as much as we can do? That would make more experience, right? That would be better. All right. Back in Romans again. Where are we here? Interrupting myself here. Okay. Verse 9 again. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Verse 9, for to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. See, that's the point. Jesus is in charge here, not me, not you, right? My job is to help you serve Jesus better. It makes that simple, right? Remember how the Good Samaritan took care of the stranger? He didn't think about himself. He didn't say, hey, you're going to come to my church? You're going to come to my church and believe what I believe? Then I'll give you some food. No, he just blessed him anyway. Now look at verse 10, interestingly. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another any more, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Amen. You see, the reason I don't have to judge each other and hold each other in contempt is because we're all going to appear before the Lord. We're all going to answer to Jesus one day. It's going to happen, right? It's all going to happen. So rather than getting all upset about it, rather than criticizing each other and judging each other, we're all going to report to Jesus. So what it's saying in verse 13 is, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. I know, verse 14, and I'm convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Boom, right? Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Now I can tell you a story. My father has passed away, but when my dad was alive, he was an amazingly committed Roman Catholic, as committed as I've ever seen. Amazing man, great heart for God and everything, worked hard. And in his faith, they don't eat meat on Fridays during Lent. That was what he was in. And he was very serious to him. He was very serious about it. And that's fine. That's his faith, right? Now, what could I have done? I could have come over on a Friday, see my dad with a big cheeseburger and just said, boy, this might be the best cheeseburger I've ever eaten in my whole life. Well, just let me put that aside for some roast beef. And how about some chicken? I could have done that, right? Why? Why would I do that? Because it's not blessing my dad. That's what he's saying here. Verse 15. Yet if your brother, and my dad is my spiritual brother as well as my dad, if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Amen. Therefore, do not let, verse 16, your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, so it was, I could have been a jerk, right? I could have eaten the meat and said, hey, in my faith, it's okay to eat hamburgers on Friday. It's okay. But it would not have blessed my dad. And see the focus change here? It's no longer judge and criticize. It's, hey, let's consider him. How do we focus on him? Help him stand before Jesus better. That's our job. You know, I've gotten to the point in my life where I no longer argue my spiritual beliefs. If I can help someone, like, why, Dave, why do you believe X? Well, I have verses to back that up. And if you want to know, I'd be happy to teach you. But I'm not going to argue with you. If you think Jesus Christ is left-handed, okay. You believe that. If Moses was a Republican, okay, fine. Right? Whatever you want to believe, I'm not going to change you. You know, if you want to know why I don't necessarily believe that, we'll go to the Bible and look at it ourselves. But Jesus does not want me arguing with you on doctrinal beliefs. I'm sorry, it just doesn't happen. What I'm supposed to do is help you be the best you can be when Jesus comes back. That's my goal. Now, let's jump down to verse 17 again. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I love verse 18. For he who serves Christ in these things serves whom? Christ, right? In these things. What things? Not judging each other, not criticizing each other, not holding in contempt each other, but loving people and being concerned about what's sensitive to them. When you do that, what are you doing? You're serving Christ. How good is that, right? You're serving Christ. And that's what we want to do, right? He who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. The word acceptable is actually the word pleasing. Sound familiar? How did Jesus love God? By doing what pleased God. Well, when we walk like this in Romans 14, we're pleasing God too. See, we're loving people, we're pleasing God, we're serving Christ. Those are good things to be done. And then, of course, we get to verse 19, which might just be my favorite verse in the whole Bible. Might just be. I'm not 100% on that one yet, but it might be. But verse 19, therefore, and a big Bible question you want to ask yourself is, what's the therefore, or why for the therefore, right? Therefore, because of what we just read, because about serving Christ and being pleasing to God, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. The word pursue here is pretty good. Thank you. The word pursue here is pretty good. It really is a very deeper, more passionate word than that. It's a pursue, a going after it. It's taking a very serious, aggressive stance on it. But it's pursue. What do I pursue? Well, two things. The things to make for peace, that's one thing. You know, rather than squabbling over doctrinal issues, rather than making, you know, fun of people or judging, instead of doing that, make peace. What makes peace? Well, I could have hurt my dad and eaten cheeseburgers on Friday, or I could just bless him and love him. We didn't have all the same beliefs, my dad and me, but you know what? We decided that it was much better for our relationship if we just focused on each on what the things we do believe in. We both believe Jesus Christ is Lord. We both believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. So you know what? Let's stay on what we both believe. Let's work together instead of arguing about little things. Oh, you believe that? Well, I believe this. It's pointless and wasting time and doesn't bless Jesus. But there's something else here. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace. That's one. And we're also going to pursue something else, the things by which one may edify another. And that teaching is coming soon on one of these radio shows, because that's a whole other great Greek word, the word for edify. But my job is to build you up. That's my job, not to argue, not to complain, not to criticize you. That's not my job. It's to work hard to pursue things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy, verse 20, the work of God for the sake of food. All the things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. Verse 21, it is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. Exactly. If it hurts my brother, I'm not going to do it, because Jesus Christ died for him. That's the key. Jesus Christ died for my brother in Christ. Well, he's not your religion. He's going to be a different religion, but I still love him anyway. That's my job. So that's what we want to think about this week, is loving our neighbor like this and not judging. So God bless you all, and we'll talk again soon.
This is Reverend Dave Boston. Thanks for joining us today. Tune in next Friday at 4 p.m. as we continue to follow the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me at homebible220@yahoo.com. Have a blessed week.